So Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. The Bible says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, to be in your house tonight. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me. Lord, I pray that I'd only preach what you want me to preach tonight. Lord, that I could be a blessing to those that are here. And Lord, I pray you take this text and use it for your glory tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled, Who Wants Some Crumbs? Who wants some crumbs? If I read started in the same chapter we were just in, Matthew chapter 15, verse 26, it says, "But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread." When he talked about the children, he's talking about the Jews in this scripture. In that time, he was there for the Jews. That's why he was here, and then later the Gentiles, as you know. And it says, "And cast it to dogs," or the Gentiles. Say, why would he say that to her? That's what the Jews called them, not Jesus. At that point, he was using what they called them. I believe at this point it was a test. He wasn't trying to be derogatory. He wasn't trying to put her down. I believe it was a test. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." What kind of faith did it take for someone? Think about it. You're looking at Jesus. And you're at his feet and you're begging him. And it looks like he's not going to help. And she said, "But Master, just the crumbs. I'll take the crumbs." And the Bible says, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." You say, why? Because of her faith. She had faith. How many of us would have just turned and walked away and said, what kind of God is that? What kind of Jesus is that? But she had faith. She knew what kind of God he was. She knew what he could do. And she knew it wouldn't take anything but a crumb to heal her daughter and to take care of her daughter. Because of her faith, and she was persistent. You see, a lot of times, we're not very persistent. We want it to answer now, and we'll go and ask the Lord in prayer. We might ask for a month or 2 months or maybe even a year. And if that prayer is not answered, we give up. She didn't give up. If we could clearly see this evening, as individuals and as a church, that it is awesome that we don't just have to settle for the crumbs. You see, when we got saved, if you're saved here tonight, you were grafted in to the Father. You were grafted in. He is your Father. You don't have to settle for the crumbs. But even if I could settle for any crumbs, brother, it would be the crumbs from Jesus' table. Can you imagine at Christmas time, if your wife prepared a wonderful dinner, I'm sure she did, a beautiful dinner, and everybody came in the house, and y'all waited for them to go through, and when you got there, Pastor, there was just crumbs. Now, he's a good guy. He probably, it's his kids, but I'd be a little upset, because I didn't get to taste some of Miss Eve's food. I'd be a little upset. But she says, "Master, if I could just have the crumbs." If you think about crumbs, listen, when we were saved, we don't have to worry about that. Can you imagine being so hungry for the love of Jesus, for just the touch of Jesus, to get at his feet and say, "Lord, I just want the crumbs." If we could just get at Jesus' feet. If we could remember what he did for us when he saved us. So often we get saved and we live our life and we kind of get away from things. We're saved, we're going to heaven, and we don't have much to worry about. We come to church on Sunday morning, maybe, whatever, and we get a little bit, and we're just getting the crumbs. But can you imagine if we realized what Jesus had to offer? She got down at his feet. How many times do we have a chance to come to an altar and get at Jesus' feet? I know you can do it anywhere. I understand that. But there's just something special about an altar. And getting down here on your feet and crying and asking God for help. We all have something that God could help us with. I personally have a lot just with myself that God could help with. Much less my family. Much less friends and those that need to be saved and people that I can think of that if God would just touch them. Listen, when we think about crumbs, we think about the least desirable thing. I wouldn't go to a restaurant and ask for the crumb menu. I'm not going to ask for that. You know, you think about the prodigal son. He went out there and spent everything, and he ended up at the pig stall. And all the scraps and the junk, and he woke up and he realized, what am I doing? Those that are helping my father, those that are at my own house have more than this. What am I doing here? Crumbs are the least desirable. No one prefers to have the crumbs. No one prefers to get what's left over. We shouldn't just want the crumbs. Now, mind you, I'm not putting down the lady that asked Jesus for his crumbs. She realized that if that's all she got, that would take care of her daughter. But realizing that we're grafted into the Father, we have a Heavenly Father that saved us, that loved us so much, He died on the cross for our sins. We have so much more than crumbs. It's nothing compared to what God has for us if we just be faithful. Don't be satisfied with just crumbs. Don't be satisfied with just getting saved. Don't be satisfied with just coming to church once a week. Don't be satisfied with just, with realizing that Jesus Christ died for you, He saved you, but it's not just for you, it's for everyone. It's for all of us. You were talking about this morning about how we need to let everybody see that. We need to be a witness to everyone. No one goes to the restaurant and orders crumbs. We shouldn't. If you go to a restaurant and order crumbs, you're a weirdo. Right? We wouldn't do that, so why would we expect that? Why would we settle for the crumbs? Can you imagine? Can you imagine for one second, Pastor? Can you imagine if Pastor Vinoy would say, now, I have a Bible, but I don't want you all to have one. I just want you to come to church, and I want you to listen to what I say, but I don't want you to have a Bible. He wouldn't do that. But can you imagine, we have Bibles widely available, not only Bibles, but our phones. Bibles on our phones and everywhere else. And even though we have so many Bibles, we still don't read them. We still don't spend time with God. We still don't give Him the time that He deserves. And He gave us everything. Why would we settle for that? Proverbs 8:32 through 36 says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, watching the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And all they that hate me love death. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Blessed is the man that watcheth me daily." I don't know about you, but if I could obtain just a little bit of favor with God, just the slightest bit, I don't want just a little bit, but if I could at least find a little favor with God and He could trust me to do His will. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it." I remember a preacher. His name was Gardner Gentry. You may know him. You may not, from Kentucky. And he did this illustration. I didn't want to mess up your auditorium. I don't see any offering plates, but I'll just pretend I have one. He took an offering plate, and he used that verse, and he said, he used to love Raisin Bran, and this family brought him Raisin Bran all the time to church. So he took a box of that Raisin Bran, and he poured it in the offering plate, and he leveled it off. He said, "That's a lot, isn't it? But why would you just want that?" He took that Raisin Bran and started to pour it and started to flow over the sides of the plate onto the ground. You see, that's what God has for us as His children. I'm not talking about riches necessarily. I'm talking about spirituality. I'm talking about His grace. I'm talking about your family getting saved, your neighbors getting saved, your friends getting saved. That's the grace and the overflowing grace of God that He has there to provide for us. We shouldn't just want We should not just want to just say, "Hey, you know, I'm okay with just my immediate family getting saved. I'm okay with just this," or "I'm okay with just that." When He says, "Bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in my house," it's not just money. It's our time. It's our being. It's what we do for Him. It's about where are we in this walk with Jesus Christ? Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It doesn't say some things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen, blessings come from above. These blessings that we get from below, they come from above. Remember that. They come from Jesus Christ. Before we were saved, listen now, before we were saved, we were outsiders. Once you got saved, you're an insider. You're grafted into the family of God. You're an insider. You have all access to Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that we don't have to come to the pastor behind some curtain and say, "Pastor, this is my sins and this is what I've done," and he had to go to God before you? Aren't you glad we don't have to do that? Aren't you glad we don't have to sacrifice bulls and rams and have the high priest, the Jewish high priest, take it behind the veil and put it on the Ark of the Covenant for us, and just for a little while our sins will be forgiven? Aren't you glad that when He died on the cross, the veil rent in two, leaving us direct access unto Him so that we could be saved eternally, forever? There's no losing your salvation ever, 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 ever. If you're saved, you're always saved. I don't care if you like that statement or not. It's true. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you trusted Christ, I tell you something. There's been days in my life, Pastor, that I haven't been proud of. There's been days of my life that I've looked at God and I've said, "How could you love me so much? Why did you die for me? I've not always trusted you the way that I should. I've not always lived for you the way that I should. I thank God that He's kept me in church, and I thank God that even when I let Him down, that I was taught enough growing up with my dad and my mom that I knew I still needed to be in church and I didn't need to run. And I could have, and I still could. Any of us could. But by the grace of God, we realize how much He has for us at His table. How much He has. Listen, just like the prodigal son, sometimes we are. He's always waiting with open arms. He's always waiting with open arms. He wants us to serve. He wants us to live for Him. You preached about David this morning, and that really was what I was thinking about to a point. But when you think about David, his whole problem was he wasn't where he was supposed to be at the time he was supposed to be. Do I think he went up on that roof just to see Bathsheba? I don't know. It doesn't say that. But why did he get in the shape that he was? Because he was at the place at the wrong time where he shouldn't have been. Of all people, David was God's beloved. He knew there was more than crumbs at the table. But one little slip up made him not think, forget all about it just for a moment. And that's all it takes, is a moment. Blessings come when we do things God's way, not when we do things our way. And that even comes in the ministry. I don't know if you've ever had the time, but I've had it before where I thought, man, this would be great to do this, and I think it would be good, and maybe it would get a lot of kids in. I used to be a youth pastor, and it would get a lot of kids in, and I would realize, did I come up with that, or did He come up with that? Did God come up with it? Because if God didn't come up with that idea, there ain't no way it's going to work. It can look good. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is it can look good and still be wrong. We just need to go God's way. How do you go God's way? How do you know what God wants? Well, you got to spend time with Him. You got to spend time in the Word. My dad used to, he had a four-wheeler when he got older. He got the toys, you know. And he had a four-wheeler, and he would up in the mountain and disappear for like hours. He had his Bible with him. And found out he was up there in the mountain reading his Bible. He went hunting, brother. You'll appreciate this. He went hunting in West Virginia, and he took his Bible with him. And the guys that were with him said, "You really think you're going to kill a deer with taking your Bible?" He said, "You just mind your own. I'm taking my Bible. This is what God wants me to do." And he got up in the stand, and he said, "I asked the Lord for something between a 10 and 12-point buck, a certain amount of pounds, everything else," and he said, "I started reading the Bible." He said, "Well, you know," and this is a true story, "deer's hanging on my mom's wall." That deer come up through there, and while he's reading his Bible, he saw that deer, he got that deer, and the one guy said, "That really works, doesn't it, preacher?" He said, "I hope so." I hope so. He said, "Well, God will bless you, just something as simple as that." Why not? Why not? Listen, we take God for granted. I mean, I'm not saying we should ask God for physical things all the time, but He says He'll even give us some of our desires, depending on what they are. Isaiah 58, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Aren't you glad? His thoughts aren't our thoughts. Oh, man. Scares me. "Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You know what He says? He said, just follow me. Just follow me. It may not make sense. There have been things in my life that God said, do this, and I'm like, what? I skipped speech class because I was terrified to talk in front of people, brother. I'm not kidding you. I even dropped it, as a matter of fact. But sometimes when God calls you to do things and shows you things, it doesn't make sense. And because it's not, it doesn't make earthly sense, but it makes heavenly sense. And we just have to trust Him when it's His way. It's never right when it's done our way. Ever. No matter how godly it seems. Thirdly, it's our job to teach God's ways and God's order from God's Word. It's our job as the preacher. It's our job as parents. It's our job as Sunday school teachers. It's our job as you know, whatever it is in your life. It's your job to teach God's ways, God's order from God's Word, that King James Bible. Always put God first. Always. I get to thinking, what are we teaching our kids and our families and our friends when we don't teach God's ways first? We truly need to be better with this in our walk with God as parents and neighbors and whatever, just as testimonies. Why is there a decline in our families? I'm going to use one thing, and it's only because this thing gets on my nerves, and if your kids are in it, please don't get mad at me. But one of the things that I've seen in the church back in Maryland, when I was in Maryland, you know, I'm not against sports. Uh-oh. I'm not against baseball. I'm not against basketball. I'm not against football. What I am against when it's all the time. And you get on travel teams and you're not in church. And what is that teaching our kids? That teaches our kids that, I heard a parent say this one time and it really got me, brother. And I said, they need to be in the church, they need to be youth activity while they have their commitment to their ball team. And I went, what about their commitment to Jesus Christ? I'm not saying they can't play ball, but what about their commitment to Jesus Christ? What about their commitment to God? One thing we always did, and this is just me, when my son played ball, I told the coach, look, Wednesday nights at 6:30, we're out. We are out. And I tell you what, thank God he blessed, and that wasn't a problem. If it was, it would have been a problem for my son playing ball. But that's one of the things, when we teach our kids the commitment to this world, and not just ball, when it comes to work, when it comes to play or whatever it is, when it comes to vacation, if we teach our kids that's more important than the things of God, what do you think they're going to do when they get older? More and more as they get older, our families become less spiritual, less godly, less, and then less saved, less people getting saved in our families because they get out of church. It kills my heart when I see a family get out of church because of anything. Because I know it's going to affect their families down the road, brother. I know it's going to affect. I thank God for my dad. I'm going to give you this. And this is not my whole message, but I'm going to give you this real quick. My father was not always a Christian, just so you know that. Pretty deep, right? But he worked at Mack Trucks, and his vision in life was to own as much land as possible. He wasn't a Christian. My mom was a Christian. Yes, they got married, unequally yoked, absolutely did. Thank God it worked out. And he would hear Brother Oliver B. Green, my mom would have him on the radio, and he'd say, shut that thing off. Now, it's only hearsay because I wasn't born yet. But two men, long story short, he was in a Lutheran church. And the preacher told him he didn't believe that the miracles in the Bible were real. They were just stories. They weren't real. My dad knew that wasn't true because his parents taught him differently. He went out and looked up in the sky, and he said, Lord, show me the truth. About 2 weeks later, a couple of men started to witness to him. They were from a Brethren church. It was more like a Baptist church back in the day. Long story short, he got saved, became a bus pastor, Ran about 2,001 buses in the 70s, brother. And then became a Lutheran, went to a Lutheran church, got saved in a Brethren church, and started an independent fundamental Baptist church. Praise God! You don't see that happen very often. It must have been God. But through all that, I saw my parents raise us in the admonition of the Lord, and it wasn't always easy, and there were things that I found out later in life that I didn't know that my parents sacrificed, but they always trusted. I said all that to say this. They always trusted God for everything. We always had food on our table, even if it was my brother's hitting a deer every other week with a Ford truck. All right, but we always had food on the table, praise God. I didn't know till later in life that we were really poor for quite a long time. Why didn't I know that? Because they stayed close to God. They taught us it was important to follow Him, to believe God and His Word. Let me tell you something, actions speak a whole lot louder than words when it comes to following God, not only to Him, but to our families. Actions speak a lot louder than words. We could say we believe God until we're blue in the face, but if we don't act on it, it's pretty obvious. We need to accept God's ways and not man's. It's common for us to follow men. It's common for churches today to follow men instead of following God, making everything easy peasy, come in and you don't feel like any conviction or any. I appreciate that about you, Pastor, preaching the conviction and not afraid to preach the truth. Not all churches do that, and I thank God for a church that believes in the truth. I thank God that the Word is taught by faith and that we're taught to learn and to love God and to trust God by faith. Just like you trusted God when you were saved, you could trust God today for everything. How often do we find ourselves? And it's easy. God knows that we're human beings. He knows that we may not always, it may not always be easy for us to trust Him. He knows that we're human beings and we'll fail sometimes. But He wants to know how much we trust Him. And sometimes He allows things to happen, those trials to happen, just to see how close we are to Him. Listen, when we think about the crumbs, why would we do that? Go for the steak. Go for the gold. Go for the best when it comes to Jesus Christ. Obey His Word. Meditate on it. Fall in love. It's God's Word. He gave it to us for a reason. If we don't read it, why would our families want to read it? If we don't follow it, why would our families want to follow it? If they don't see that God is always first, why would they want to have God first? Honor God, and He will honor you. Dad always said, when we had preachers in, he said, I always treat them as good as I can because I've learned that if you treat the man of God well, God will treat you well. That was part of him honoring God as a pastor. And I always looked up to him for that. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30 says, Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and thy house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Proverbs 3:9 says, Honor the Lord with thy substance, with thy first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord with thy money, with thy possessions, that time, your talents. The first fruits means the best, not the last, not the worst, not just some of it. It's the best. I give him my best. Are we giving him our best today? Put God first in that order. It should always be God first. Our family ought to be right there, second. I believe that 100%. The family ought to, because without a family, brother, you don't have a ministry. And it's important to have a family that loves the Lord. And that's where I could get into a whole lot of things there, but I won't. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. It's about high time we realize that we can't do anything. We are nothing without Jesus Christ. He allows you to have the talents that you have, the job that you have. He allows you to have the family that you have. And it could go away just like that, in a heartbeat. Why would we want that to happen? Stand for God in all His ways. Too often we look away from sin. We look away from, you know, we accept the things. We have to work in a public atmosphere, and so many times there's all kind of wickedness going on, and we accept it. Sometimes we even don't deny that we accept it. I'm not telling you should be mean to those people. We ought to be a witness to those people, but we surely shouldn't accept it and go along with it. That's something that we need to realize in our everyday walk with God. Psalms 18:30, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. You say, what are you getting at tonight? Too often, we forget who our Father is. We forget why He died for us. I believe we're living in a day of Christians that they're truly saved people in this world, but that's as far as it goes. Pastor doesn't have people coming to him and say, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do this, I'll do that. He's talking about 10% doing the work and 90% watching them do it, right? And that's the way it is all around the world. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I come to church. I get excited to be able to get something from the Lord. If I'm not able to come, it's almost like it's a void in my heart that week. If I'm not able to be there, whether I'm sick or away or whatever. We ought to want to be in the house of God, and you guys are here tonight. You're the backbone, and I understand that. But we ought to be uplifting to those that aren't here, right? Encouraging to those that aren't here, trying to get them to be in the house of God, not just on Sunday morning, but Sunday night and Wednesday night. Why? Because it'll help you. It'll help you get closer to Him. And again, that's just the crumbs. The real meat of it is when you go home and read the Word of God yourself and get close to the Lord and give your time to God. Oftentimes, I said, Dad was up in the mountains. He would disappear all the time. He'd be up at 4:30. He was an early riser, ain't like me. I get up early, but not that early. But he'd be up at 4:30 in the morning in his office, and he had a prayer list. You might get a kick out of this. He had a prayer list of those that were in the church and those that used to come to the church, and he prayed for both of them, just to say. You say, why do you separate them? I don't know. But we found it. We found the prayer list after he passed away. But he would pray for them and ask God to help them and ask God to guide them the right way. Listen, Abraham Lincoln said, we've forgotten the gracious hand which has preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. I think that's the way a lot of people feel. We forget about what God has done, the things that God can do for us. Simply put, when you agree with God, you can't go wrong. Are you trusting in God? Are you realizing that He is not only, and if He was only your Savior, that'd be enough. But He's not only your Savior, but He's your provider. He's your healer. He takes care of you. I don't understand why some things happen in our lives and in our walk with God. There are things that happen that nobody can ever explain, but God knows. And I always know, there's one thing that I've always seen. I've always seen God. I've always seen the blessings on the other side when we were faithful. I've always seen God touch when we were faithful. He don't have to. There's nowhere it says He has to. But how much do we love Him? How much do we trust Him? How much do we realize crumbs from the Lord's table are great, but man, He has so much more for us if we just take it.